Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Evangelism takes many forms. It can be as subtle as offering to give thanks before a meal with friends and family, or as bold as sharing our own testimony in front of an auditorium of thousands. Those who hear the stirring words of the evangelistic speaker often perceive him or her as a person whose life was blessed with an extraordinary relationship with the Lord, and because of that bond, never encountered hardship or faced adversity. My guest today, Zarina Lomax, is a talk show host, author, entrepreneur, preacher, teacher, speaker, and ordained minister who truly loves the Lord. Her Talking the Walk television show and radio focus on sharing the testimonies and gifts of God's people who truly live out their worship for God and showcase the difference between religion and relationship with God. She has been entrusted to start a media production company and an upcoming fashion line where she is able to serve God's people and help them bring their dreams to life. She has a heart for evangelism demonstrated in her ministry and serves as the elder of evangelism at her church, where she loves to put together outreach events. Although Zarina lives out the belief that all glory belongs to God, she has encountered her share of adversity. Growing up, Zarina battled through depression, obesity, disease, molestation, and abandonment issues, which all served as the catalyst for her to know God at a deeper level and strengthen the faith she so passionately shares. Good morning and welcome to the show, Zarina.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. It's so good to have you on the show, Zarina. I still think it's an amazing thing, the way the Lord put us together those last couple of minutes as I was leaving the Greater Philly Christian Writers Conference.
Yeah,
I had wanted to visit with you, and you were busy, and I was busy, and I was out there waiting for my ride to go pick up my luggage, and there you were, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was. I remember.
You spread the word of God through many different venues, from, oh my goodness, writing to teaching to preaching and so many different things. And you speak on public media through radio and television. You just have all kinds of things going on in your life there, girl. So tell us, what childhood experiences led you to an interest in these kind of pursuits? Were these things you thought about as a kid or not really?
Absolutely not. This was completely divinely ordered by the Lord. When I was younger, I thought I was going to actually be in the medical field. And when I went to school for it, I was like, I don't like this. I couldn't stand it. I went to school and excelled it, and I didn't like it. So this was not it. But the childhood experiences that allowed me to want to do this was just go back to the things that I faced as a child is my passion for what I do. But I didn't think that I would be doing anything in media, no.
That's always interesting how the things we think we're going to be when we were kids are nothing like what we turn out to be as adults, you know. And it just kind of goes to show that God does have a plan for all of us, and that they aren't always necessarily in line with our big plans that we make for
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely, this was definitely God's. This was His will. Absolutely.
Could you kind of tell us a little bit about how you got into that field then?
So what happened was.
Doing now.
Okay, so what happened was is I got saved when I was around the age of 20, but at the age of 28. I had an encounter with the Lord in my room, and that's when I really began to delve into a relationship with the Lord. And when I sat down with him and he began to take me through, you know, deliverance processes, everybody goes through there. I remember that I used to watch TV a lot, and I was, you know, I'm 28 at the time. This is back in 2012, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't really see anyone that looks like me. I really don't understand. And so he said to me, well, that's because I'm going to have you do it. And I'm, you know, I was like, okay, well, whatever. Like, I don't know nothing about media. I ain't never interview a person. I'm like, whatever, God. And he began to show me, like, he even had me, like, watching a lot with Billy Graham and stuff, and you know how he used to do the crusades, and he was sharing about, like, I was reading with him because I was in Bible college at the time, and I kept running into people that did media, and I'm like, okay, God must be serious with this thing. And so what happened was I said, okay, Lord, we're going to do it, because it was such a desire for me to see people. I wanted to see somebody tell me how to walk this out with Christ, because I accepted Christ as my Savior, but what else? Like, what was the in-between? Because there's a lot of things that go on before you get to heaven. So I went and I met with my church leader. He was like, well, they didn't really want me to have it there. So I prayed about it, and I met this lady through a deacon. I went to her for a meeting, but it ended up being at the actual facility where I started with the talk show. And that's how it started. And I went there, and the Holy Spirit said, this is it. And I went. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have any money. And it was a $25 membership, and I could use all I had to do was take the classes. And so I'm like, this is too funny, because it was only $25 for a year. So I took the classes, which was about $75, went in there, everybody's giving their experience, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do we say? So when it got to me, they're like, well, why are you here? I'm like, well, Jesus sent me. And they're looking at me with their mouths like, what is she talking about? But it was the truth, because I didn't have no other answer. I'm like, well, Jesus told me to come, and I'm here to start a show. And that's it. And so I was so nervous, because I had to learn all of this stuff in 6 weeks in order to do it. And I patched for flying colors. The Holy Spirit helped me patch. And that was it. That was in October of 2014. I finished in December of 2014. And from there, God has birthed now a production company. And now I also do radio. And I'm helping other people do it. So that's pretty much it. The Holy Spirit was my teacher, because I had no clue how to push a button. I never interviewed. I was nervous and, like, really meek. And then here we go now.
Wow, Z, that is quite an amazing story.
Yeah, that's the story.
And I have to just say, I guess, congratulations to you for having the courage to follow through with that, because
yeah, we got beautiful.
Most people would be like, okay, Lord, I think maybe it was you talking to me, but probably not.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pass this
over. He was confirming so much. He was confirmed, even with the fashion. Like, I got my internship for fashion through an Uber ride. I told Lord, I don't know if you want me to do this. He said, get an Uber ride. And I met the girl's niece, and that's how I got my internship. I said, oh, okay. Like, that's kind of like how God does it for me. Well, he'll sit me in a place to confirm when I'm, like, thinking I shouldn't do something.
It sounds almost like he takes a magic marker and writes across the sky for you, huh?
Yeah. He does. Like, what else do you need me to say? You're right. Yes, he does.
Pretty cool stuff there, Z.
Yeah, it is. I laugh a lot, too, when God does stuff, because it's funny how he'll confirm it. It's kind of like, no, you can't say that I didn't tell you type thing. So, yeah.
Well, Z, despite the fact, I'm going to call you Z, because in our conversations we talked about
does.
How you're commonly known as being referred to as Z, so...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you have experience. Here you are, obviously a very successful person in many different areas. However, you stated to me that you have experienced depression. You experienced low self-esteem issues.
Mm-hmm.
Share with us a little bit about what precipitated these feelings, and how did you overcome all of that to do what you do today?
Okay. So at the age of five, you know, my uncle began to kind of like, you know, get me prepared. You know, I was molested by my uncle as a child. So my favorite uncle, you know, my mother worked, of course, I was the only child at the time with her. And so she would send me to it was like my step-grandmother's house. And it was my favorite uncle, and he started doing little things. And lo and behold, you know, he molested me, and I told her at the age of eight. And so I went through a lot with that, because I did share. I told my mother, you know, she took me to court, everything, but he never got any time. And my father was, like, always on and off of drugs. So after he found out what happened, he kind of, like, went back on drugs. I didn't see him for a long time. And so my relationship with my dad, even to this day, has always been back and forth. And so it was almost like, you know, enters in rejection, basically, where, you know, I was a child, where I was always, you know, loved, and then enters in rejection, because all this stuff started happening. And my uncle even said, like, if you share, then your parents were not going to talk to you. So when my dad left, it was kind of like with that, like, well, why doesn't he love me type thing? And so as I got mm-hmm. older, everything was, oh, you know, I'm still trying to deal with it. My mother had my brothers and sisters around the age of 10, 11, and 15. And so I'm still trying to figure out my way of healing from this. And I go to the doctors, and I get to the doctors, and they're like, oh, you have HPV. So I'm like, well, what's that? And they're like, well, this is something that you're going to have forever. You know, it can cause cervical cancer. Now, this is back in, like, what, the late 90s? So nobody's really talking about it then like they were now,
right,
where you get, like, the shots and stuff. So I'm 15 years old, and I felt like I was raped again because it was from my uncle. And so
in that case,
I started gaining a lot of weight. And, you know, my mother's trying to be a single mother. She had just had a baby. You know, I'm taking time off from school because I'm trying to heal. It was just, like, so back and forth, so I began to eat. And I just felt like this was, like, almost like a curse that I was never going to find anyone that loved me. My father never did. You know, he left me. And my father came back about a year later, and we were starting to build a relationship, and then my father goes to jail for murder. So now here it is. It's like every single time I feel like I'm getting some type of solace. My dad is gone. And so at 17, you know, I had my little boyfriend, he leaves. And so I always kept you think you find solace in boyfriends compared to knowing God. And it wasn't. So I would try to do things. And so every time something wouldn't work, I would eat, and eat. And I was actually really small as a child. I had asthma really bad, so I took steroids. And so I began to gain a lot of weight. So long story short, at the age of 19, I get on the scale, I'm 268 pounds. So I'm, like, extremely depressed. I don't know how to lose the weight. So I do what you shouldn't do, where I go on these fad diets. I'm taking diet pills. I lose all this weight. I don't know what to do now because I'm small. So you become very promiscuous, but I never felt happiness because, you know, giving your body away to people is not happiness. So I get shaved around that time, living with my grandmother. I'm feeling like everything's going to be okay. Breakup, had a really bad breakup. My grandmother passes away a couple months later, just dies, has a heart attack. Never seen it coming. So then about within that year, my little cousin died. He was 12. My mother finds out she has a brain tumor. My grandfather. So it's all these things coming against me. So I just felt like God just didn't love me. I was depressed. I felt like I never was just going to get ahead. And I just felt like no matter what, like I just felt like I was ugly. Like, you know, maybe something's wrong with me because why? It has to be me where all these things are happening. And so lo and behold, I remember telling God if he healed me, I would serve him around the age of like 24. And then at the age of 28 is where I begin the deliverance process. And what actually helped me to come out was just honestly having an encounter with God and truly knowing the love of God. And he began to just reveal to me that even though I went through all of those things, it was in order to know his son on a deeper level because he desired to use me for his glory. And I had to understand the sense of long-suffering. And instead of taking what I went through as a woe is me, it was almost like take it as a thank you because now you're able to know what my son experienced in such a deeper level. And now you know me as your friend. You know me as your healer. You know me as your father because, you know, my father, he's Muslim. So the Lord said, I removed him in order for you to truly know me because I had called you. And so you thought that I was hurting you, but I was protecting you. So I just began to understand that the things that God was doing was not to hurt me, but it was to actually help me to know him, and it was for me to be able to help somebody else to know him. So that was like kind of like the process of coming out. And like even now this year, I realized that I was always afraid to gain the weight, so I kind of like had this bout with bulimia, so God was like sending me to therapy for that this year. So I've always been really transparent where God has me because I understand that it helps other people, but it's really honestly just knowing that God loves me and getting that love part in my heart, that's what helped me to be able to heal from all of that stuff.
Wow.
Share with us a little bit more, Z, about bulimia. What is it?
Okay.
How does a person develop it? How does a person get over it?
So bulimia nerviosa, it comes in many different forms. Some people binge eat and they may throw up. Some people actually do it through laxatives. That was my story with laxatives. I was never the girl that binge eat and throw up, but I would do these things where I would go out to like buffets, earlier this year I had like went through a breakup, and so this was somebody that, you know, we were going to counsel, we were on the path of getting married, and so God removed him and shut me down, and I'm like, what are you doing? So I hadn't dated in like almost 5 years. I was very vocal, Lord, I'm not dating anybody until it's time for marriage, and so entered this in, but God allowed this because I needed to understand the triggers, and my triggers was emotion. I was an emotional eater. So a lot of those things come through emotional eating. It takes you back to that trauma when you were younger, kind of like the, you know, through the molestation or the my dad not being there and the low self-esteem. So I always, being on TV, I was kind of like afraid to look heavy set. So anytime I felt like I was getting too big, I would take a bunch of cleanses, and then I started developing like a really, like, it's called bulimia bloat. So I couldn't figure out why my stomach was not, would not blow, like it kept blowing all the time. Like it would look like I had like a small pouch, and I'm small. And so I went to the doctors. They doing all these tests. They can't find anything wrong. And I'm like, Lord, is in your planet? I'm like, what's going on? And one day he said, are you ready to really know what it is? He took me to this website, like Demon Busters or something like that, and he showed me that it was like a curse. He said, you had allowed it, everything is spiritual. He said, this is a spirit that's trying to kill you, and you need deliverance. And, you know, it's funny because you're in church, you're ministering, you're praying over people, and you're walking around with those things. And so I began to seek the Lord, and he began to reveal to me that I had allowed that self-esteem issue to take over my life, and I needed to be released from it, especially being in media and being on TV and taking pictures. I had to get in my spirit that I was just who God had called me to be. This is how he made me, and this was it. You have to get over all the bumps and the blemishes, you know, because you gain a lot of weight. I had some stretch marks. So, you know, oh, girls go to that. Oh, don't look at me this way. You know how that goes. And it's our desire to be married and teach other women how to love themselves. And I had to first love myself. And even though I love to get dressed up and all this stuff, there was still a disconnect because the root had not been broken. And so I went to church. I remember crying at the altar. And then now I'm going to therapy. And so I would say how it's developed is normally through emotion, some type of trauma, through the spirit of rejection that stuff enters in and people don't begin to like themselves, especially like anorexia and stuff like that. So either they won't eat, because I would have days where I would fast and then I would binge eat. I would fast and then I would binge eat. So it's like I would gain 8 pounds in 2 days, I would lose it in a day. Like that's how I was going. And
wow.
How you come out is honestly, you have to go to God and you have to ask him to help you and to send the people to help you. The therapist that I have, I asked for a believer. God gave me a believer. She's my age, and we went to the same college. So God kind of gave me somebody where I'm really comfortable with her. She listens and she's helping me get to the root. And so I'm grateful for that. But it is something that if you don't catch it, it can take you out. You know, you can develop like colon cancer. It messes with your digestive system because a lot of foods that I used to eat when I was younger, I can't eat it because it started messing with my stomach. And so I just had to understand that this was something that I allow in. But now I'm like going through like the nutritional side of it. So it's a process, but it's a good process because I'm able to be able to help other people come out.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, Z. I've always wondered with bulimic people, when a person, or with people that binge eat in general, when a person binge eats, do they fix a big meal, or do they binge eat on things like a bag of potato chips and a quart of ice cream?
I would kind of do both. I don't eat meat. Like I cut out meat because I had this bout a couple years ago. I had over 30 fibroids removed. Like I almost died. I had 2 blood transfusions. I lost like all this weight and like it was crazy. And so when I got rid of the fibroids, I stopped eating a lot of meat because a lot of the hormones can help that stuff to grow really quickly. And so I really eat a lot of fish. And sometimes when you cut things out from your diet, that fish, you crave sugar. So I went from when I was younger to the meats and the chickens, and you go to the buffet and you eat that too. Exactly what you said, potato chips, ice cream, cookies, and I was eating all of that. And like you said, I would sit there and I would just keep going back and I would find a snack and I would keep going back and I would find a snack. And then, you know, I used to work in customer service until the Lord told me to come out a year ago and start my business, and I would sit at my desk. And so you're stressed out with work. And so that was kind of like my solace. It used to be burgers, fried chicken, and, you know, fried rice, because I was like, I love Chinese food. And then when I switched some things up where it's like, okay, I'm not going to eat this anymore. I'm going to eat that because for a little bit I didn't eat, like, no starch, no sugar. I went right back into it. Like, when I started eating sugar and stuff again, I couldn't stop eating it. And I would put it, you know, you gain all that weight because you're eating all of that stuff. And so then I would take the cleanses, or I would, like, not eat for a couple of days, and then I would do it again. And it was consistent all the time. Like, I would have bottles of tea, like cups of tea sitting in my refrigerator that were cleanses for me to take all the time. Like, I had it ready because I was so afraid to gain weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must be a heck of a way to live, Z.
yeah, it was.
You know, very pretty imbalanced. Well, and you're you're pretty much over all that now, or are you still dealing with
that
issue?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I really seek the Lord about that. I was like 157 pounds, and I'm 5'11", and really, you see how tall I am. And
yes.
I've allowed myself to gain weight, and I'm like about 170 pounds now. I'm at a healthy weight, and I'm okay. Like, I used to look at the scale, and I would break down in tears if I gained 1 pound, cry. And this was, this was maybe about, it stopped maybe in like August of this year. And now I'm able to look at the scale and I'm okay with it. I'm able to look in the mirror and see I have some hips or I'm okay with it. But I used to hate it. Like I would be like, I gotta be, I was never small enough. It's like, you can never be small enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I had lost over 100 pounds, but I didn't see it. Yep.
Right. Well, I know when I met you, I didn't actually speak with you the first time I saw you, but I remember being just very impressed with your appearance, because like you say, you're tall. You're almost 6 feet
tall.
Yeah,
I am tall.
That's a beautiful fur lady. Mm-hmm. And you were dressed, beautifully, and I remember your lipstick was very, I can't remember what color it was now, but you kind
probably
of
blue
like
or something,
unique colors, and I was like, wow, this lady is really attractive, and I didn't speak to you at the time. I think I was getting ready to meet someone for my appointments, but anyway, then when I saw you later, I could tell right away, this is the same lady, because you just have that presence about you, and you came across as so self-assured and so confident. And to hear you share this story of what you have been through is just absolutely amazing to me, Zarina. You've come
a long way. Yeah. Yeah, and I was still struggling kind of around that time, actually. I didn't really come out of the bulimia until August. I think I met you in July. So
yes.
I was still kind of in that time. I love to dress up, but that's something that God is – this is exactly why I do what I do, because we dress up a lot of our hurts, and I love to get dressed, but I was still really struggling to receive that, when somebody says, oh, you're pretty, really, I didn't see it. I just didn't. And so – I'm telling you, and people be like, I'm like, okay, well, to God be the glory, because I didn't see it at all and know what y'all was talking about.
Uh-huh. Well, Zee, at this point, I'm going to kind of take a little break here from our interview and make folks aware. Sometimes we have folks that come into the show after we've started, and they don't know who we are or what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. I'm pleased to have you with us today. My guest, who I'm really thrilled to have with me today, is Zarina Lomax. Zarina has many different talents. She's a talk show host. She has a TV show. She has a radio show. She's an author. She's a preacher and a teacher and a speaker and an entrepreneur. And she just has many different things going on in her life, which, as she has been discussing with us, God has pretty much led her down this path, and she has experienced some adversity and some really tough times, and the Lord has helped her overcome all of them. So I would encourage you, if you did come in the middle of the show, to go back and listen to the beginning, because it is quite fascinating. Zarina can be found on Facebook, and she can also be found at her, on Instagram. I'm not familiar with Instagram, but she's also on Instagram. And what I will do, rather than name off all of these URLs, I'm going to refer you listeners to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And on that website, you will find the show, and you will find listed under more information all of the links that will take you to Zarina's TV show and to her Facebook page and her Instagram page. And also, I want to make folks aware, we haven't talked about this yet, but Zarina is available for speaking engagements, and she gave me her email. So I will also include that on the page so that people can get in touch with you, Zarina.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All righty. And I also might want to make listeners aware, getting back to the website, the Patty Sheen website, that any show that we have recorded is on archive there, and it's easily accessible under the Blog Talk Radio tab. There's direct links to all the shows. So I just wanted to make folks aware of that. Well, Zarina, tell us about your TV show. What is your format? What is your goal?
Okay.
Your purpose?
Okay. So the talk show and Angie Radio is pretty much the same format. It's called Talk and the Walk. It was five young ladies, but now it's just myself, as you see. And it was supposed to originally be that, but of course, fear. So you kind of feel like you need someone, but now it's just myself. And the basis of it all is it's really just a part of my evangelism tool. Evangelism is so in my heart. And the Bible tells us that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so that's pretty much it. You know, I have people come on there that they may be a Christian rapper, they may be a dancer, or you might just be an usher, or you might just might be trying to find your gift. But God has delivered you from so many things. And so that is the basis of the show, where we have people come on. Like, I just had someone on last night on my radio where, you know, she struggled with homosexuality, and she shared, like, the struggle with it to someone who was molested with someone in the church, to someone who was a minister and was fornicating. Like, those are the things that we share, because it's almost like we go to church and we don't, it's like, okay, I'm saved and I don't do anything, which is absolutely a lie. The Bible says pick up your cross daily, and it talks about the flesh, the spiritual battle between our flesh and our spirit. But, you know, if people don't understand how to do that and don't understand whose strength that they're going to conquer in, which is only in Christ Jesus, then they're not going to do it. And so this is what this show is for. And to allow people just an open forum to share their struggles, to share how they, you know, were rejected and talked about, which is exactly what Christ went through, but to also share how God has used it for his glory and to help people to be able to come to know Christ deeper as their Lord and Savior. So normally what I do is I'll have people come on, even if you perform, I'll start with your testimony. The first question I always ask is, how did you become a follower of Christ? And then I switch over into how did this transition into relationship? Because we all have that I got saved moment, but then we still didn't get into the relationship side. And then we build up the interview. If you perform anything, then we'll do that. If not, we continue on. And I'll normally close out with some, God will give me something like a word or something or a scripture to get to someone. We go through that. And we always offer salvation, and we always give prayer, even though there's no actual studio audience yet, because we haven't moved into that portion. You never know who's watching, and not even just with them, the crew members. Like, a lot of my crew members are not all Christians. I actually had a young lady who just passed away that was a crew member who used to come and talk about her struggle with knowing Christ, and I found out she got baptized. Like, she was really just in it with the Lord, and so, like, God just uses it and plants seeds. So that's basically it. It's the same with the radio show. The radio show is just, like, a little longer, so I'm able to play music in between. That's an hour and a half. The talk show is only a half an hour. But I really just focus around the center of someone's testimonies and allow people to share it. And the people that come on on the show are people that truly live what they say. Like, they might be they may have struggled in some areas, but you really have to live out your worship to God and not just say, I'm a Christian, and think you can do all those things, because you're pointing somebody back to somebody's life. And so we have to be careful if we point somebody back and they're not living correctly. We love them, but I'm not going to point you to their ministry. So those are the type of people that come on the show.
Wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have an awful lot to share.
Yes.
Z, and
yes, we do.
And like we mentioned before the show started, there are just so many people out there that are starving for the Word of God and don't even know what they're hungry for. Excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when they come across a show like yours, it's probably just an amazing thing for them. Like I say, sometimes people don't even realize what they are looking for when they find your show. So I think that's just wonderful. And how long have you been doing this now?
I relaunched the talk show in January of 2016, and radio, I did it in 2015 when I was with the other young lady, but we separated. And so I started doing radio again October of this year, and I feel like radio is just like, oh my gosh, it's like taking off. It's crazy with the radio, because, you know, people can see it through Facebook Live, and my talk shows air, you know, later than what I record them. So people are really catching on with the radio as well. But I've been doing this now for almost 2 years straight. Like, I've been consistent for about 2 years straight now.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I started out trying to be consistent, but
it's hard. It is.
That way.
Yeah,
well,
I understand.
I just had some stuff
hard.
Go on. My husband passed away last year, and I just kind of...
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, well, thank you. I just kind of took a break for a while, and then my ministry partner got sick, and, well, that's what really scared me, because I didn't think I would ever be doing this all by myself.
Wow.
Oh, once again, but I'm not doing it by myself. I'm doing it with the Lord. So
that's right. That's right. Amen. And that's,
yes,
and, but 99.9% I understand it, because I did the same thing. I went through the same thing. And when I first started, it was just me. I'm like, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? Because I had did radio and TV with someone else. And so God had brought them back full circle and had me do it alone. And it's definitely like a process, but it's awesome. It's awesome how God, your Holy Spirit just has his way, and you just be like, really? It's just, it's amazing. So he does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. Yep. And it's been a lot of fun for me. And like I said, I am just totally amazed by the people that God puts in my path.
Yes. It's
you
amazing,
know, like you.
I say the same thing.
Example,
listen, I say the same thing. Well, no, hello.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying the same thing. Like, I just be like, really, Lord, when he send those stories? Because you think your story's something. So you hear, like, I had a young lady who came on who was raped by her father, and her oldest son is her son's father. It's by her father. And I'm like, wow. Like, you know, I was raped, but I have no baby. You know what I mean? And so you think you've got something going on. And then she was in like a really bad domestic violence relationship. And to see the smile on this woman's face and to see how she has peace in the Lord and she's remarried, it's amazing to me. I tell you that. That, like, still, every time I think about it, I'm like, I can't believe it. Our son is like 30, but that's her father's child.
Mm-hmm. And she probably loves him like her, like, you know.
Yes,
yeah.
She does.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of love that, you know, can come from the human heart, but it all comes from God as well.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, I was visiting family back in New York, and I was at Albany Airport, and my sister and brother-in-law went to get my luggage, and I saw three ladies standing there, and they all had shirts, similar T-shirts, and on the back of them, they all said Love Heals. So I walked up, and I said, okay, you ladies have to represent something, you know, tell me what is your thing. And they happen to do a ministry out in Nashville, Tennessee, which is one of the highest cities for trafficking and prostitution, surprisingly.
Really?
And and they work with these ladies. And I said, I only have a couple of minutes. Here's my card. I do a radio show. This lady gave me her card, and we organized a show, and I can't remember back when I aired, but it's on the archives.
Wow, I have to hear that. That's beautiful.
Another gentleman, I ran into him. We were just talking. It was the day we were leaving the Colorado Christian Writers Conference, and one of the gals that I was going to eat breakfast with was talking to him, and he left, and I said, what does he do? And she said, he's up here to work with young people that are going back to their college campuses to start Christian organizations. I was like, wow, I wish I'd known that. I would have got him on the show. She chased him down in the parking lot. And he came back, and I said, I have like 2 minutes to tell you what I do, because we were headed to our worship service that morning, and I handed him my card. I had an email from him before I got home that day.
Wow.
So I would love set up a show.
That's a really beautiful ministry. I would love to. I got to go in there. I'm going to be emailing all your people.
Well, check them out. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because,
that's beautiful.
Well, you know, because I have been back at that Philly conference, some of them, those folks are from your area, I'm sure.
Are they? Yeah, you know,
sure.
Robert Cook, Pastor Rob Cook.
Oh,
yeah,
love Robert
Cook.
He's been on the show.
Isn't he awesome? And he does that youth ministry up here. We're actually going to go check that out. I'm going to go check that out tomorrow. But we did connect with him, and he is genuine. Some people, you meet him there, and it's so nice, and you meet him. He's as genuine every single time. He's awesome. We went to, an outreach he had in the summertime. And my friend, Renata, that was with me that day when I was with you, she's a singer. So she performed, and he's just a really nice guy. He's really genuinely nice. Just the love of God, just praying. He's really, really cool.
And once again, though, from his background, you would never have dreamed that he would be doing something like this.
No, absolutely not.
To hear him tell his story.
Yeah, absolutely not. I love it.
So it's pretty
awesome.
It's just awesome what God does in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I totally agree.
Well, Z, one of your favorite statements, I've seen you mention it in emails to me a couple of times, is to God be the glory. And that might make people believe that you've had a trouble-free life, but you have shared with us that you have had anything but that.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to listeners who are currently dealing with dark times and they just feel like there is no way out?
I would say the honest advice is to trust the Lord. You know, one thing that the enemy does is that he puts fear in us, like, I can't come to God this way. He's never going to love me after I've done these things, or, you know, this is something where God is punishing me. And the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And if you want to know what perfect love looks like, then you just look at Jesus Christ on the cross, because before Jesus went to the cross, he sat with the Father, and he demonstrated the greatest example of emotion of, like, you know, being afraid, almost like, I don't know if I can handle this. But it was, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And this is the thing that you're going through. You truly have to just understand that it's not to punish you. It is in order to be, for God's glory to be revealed, which is why that's one of my favorite things to say, to God be the glory, because in everything we go through, it's working out for the greater good. And the Bible also has many promises, and it says that God cannot lie. So if he promised you that those who suffer will also reign with him, then take the suffering as a tool to be able to, it's almost like fuel to the fire, to go out there to get to people and to be able to know that when you come into the kingdom of heaven, that you will be able to lay souls at Christ's feet because you went through, because you pressed through adversity. So I would just say in these moments that in these dark times, take the dark times and take the lesson. Go to the Lord. Allow him to truly teach you what he desires for, instead of taking it and not using it for his glory, because everything that we go through is for his glory. And you may not fully understand it, and that's okay. But God can handle all of your questions. That was one thing I had to get where, you know, God can handle my questions. He can handle your emotions. He can handle it. He said his burden is light. So sit before him. Mm-hmm. Allow him to know your heart. Allow him to truly tell him the truth. God, even when you're angry, God, I said, Lord, I don't like you. I don't like this, and I don't want to do it. He can handle that. But also allow him to heal your heart, because in the midst of your tears and the crying, he says that he sent us a comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so he's right there with you. But one thing about God is that he's not going to force you. He's a gentleman, so he'll be with you, but you have to invite him in. So I would charge you to just truly just to invite him in and allow him to blow your mind as a supernatural God, because that's what he desires. He doesn't just want to be known as like just a God on paper. He is the living word, and he wants to be able to reveal that to you, but you do have to invite him in. You do have to allow yourself to take what he's allowed you to go through and take the lessons in. And you also have to understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and joy is not always meaning it's going to be sunshine and rain. It's going to be, we might have to go through some things to know his strength, but in the midst of the suffering, those blessed are those who mourn. This is such a blessed place to be in him. And you just have to renew your mind and understand that this is not to take you out. This is in order to build you up and to send you out as his disciples. So he's trusted you with this thing. You are his ambassador, and he loves you at the end of the day. And even if you fall, he's still going to be with you. But you do have to allow him to walk it out with you, and you do have to allow yourself to receive what he desires and allow his will to come forth in your life. And if you do, it will be truly the greatest decision that you've ever made. I promise you that.
Well, that sounds like wonderful, wonderful advice. And thank you so much for that, Z.
One other thing I wanted to touch on
before we say goodbye, you, I mentioned in the introduction that you are an author.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what do you write? Do you have books out there? Do you write more articles? Or what's your writing venue? Pardon?
So I did write a book. I'm laughing because I know the Holy Spirit had to do this in my life. I did write a book. It's called The Road to Lordship. I wrote that book.
The Road to what?
The Road to Lordship. And I wrote it about almost 2 years ago. It talks about my struggle with pride. That was my biggest thing to conquer.
and learning that things in my life with my relationship with my parents and, you know, that my life was not my own, it was God, and I had to allow him to take his rightful place as Lord in my life. And that's the relationship that that happened. And it was hard for me to release things, to release my control. I was a control freak because, you know, when you're molested and you have no control over that, you want to control every aspect of your life. And so I was not allowing God complete control over my life. I would give him some things, but not all of it. So I wrote it. It's called The Road to Lordship. It's like a devotional. I give you steps in here. But I have the book actually edited and everything, and I never released it. And there is a second book, actually two more books, that God has told me to sit down and write because he desires for me to release it. So I'm laughing because I didn't even push that, and then Holy Spirit had you to ask me that because he keeps telling me to do it. And so I am in the process of getting that book out, but it's called The Road to Lordship, and it's really just releasing the guilt, the shame, the fear, and most importantly, the pride, that spirit of rejection, and allowing God to take his rightful place and allow me to be the follower that he desires for me to be and follow him no matter where he goes. And I take it with, you know, biblical characters, and I relate it back to my life, and then I relate it back for how you can apply it to your own life and come out of it. So it might be from rejection to fornication to lust or anything that you have done, those things, and how to allow God to be Lord in that area of your life, and then most importantly in your heart. And then the other two books that I'm working on, it talks about like being the warrior of God that God has called you to be, really learning how to war in this season and praying. So those are the two things that I am in the process of leading. So one is more of a devotional, and the other one is more of it's not necessarily devotional, it's just the actual I guess you can say like a tool, like a resource for you to be able to know who you are. I'm kind of like David and Deborah and the spirits, and really standing as who God has called you to be and be the warriors in this hour that God is calling forth to declare the kingdom coming forth in this hour.
Well, it sounds like you've got some really interesting projects going on there, Z, and I wish you the very best with them. But
thank you.
Believe me, I know what you're talking about. I have three novels in progress and a nonfiction work that have been, they have literally been transferred from one computer to another.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Yep.
So
me too.
You are not alone, but what has really helped me.
We want to get these books out, Patty. We have to get them out.
Yeah. I have a friend. I live in this little tiny town, Z. I mean, I am as opposite as can be with my environment from you as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Because I live in a town that has literally one fast food restaurant.
That's blowing my mind when you told me that. I couldn't believe it.
Dairy Queen.
I live in Philadelphia where we walk to one restaurant after the other. There's a restaurant next door. I live in, like, it's beautiful down here. I can't believe it.
But my friend and I, we meet every Friday morning at Dairy Queen with our computers.
Oh. Okay.
And when
well,
we
that's
don't,
good, though. That's accountability. That's good.
Yeah, when we don't sit there and visit, we write. And I got to thinking I get more writing done during that time than any other.
Mm-hmm.
So I have started going to Dairy Queen by myself. She doesn't do early mornings. So I've started when I can. I go to Dairy Queen myself. I try to get there at least 3 days a week, and I just sit there and write. And I can't explain why I get more done there than I do sitting at home at my kitchen table. I think it's because there's always that pressure of, oh, I really need to do this laundry. Oh, the dog needs in, the dog needs out. Oh, I should really be doing this. But when I'm over there and people come and go, and after a couple of minutes, I'm not even aware of who's there or what they're talking about or anything. I'm in my own little zone. So I think everybody
maybe
needs
I should
to
try
find
that
their
and go to a coffee shop.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can get done. So I wish you the very best with your writing,
Lee,
and all of the other many things that you do. We have a few minutes left. Can you tell me a little bit about your preaching? Do you preach on a regular basis at a certain church?
I have preached at my church, and, you know, I preach with the ministry I was with as far as that. But on the regular, that is something that God has shown me that that's what he desired in this season for me to go out and minister more often. So I am totally open to that. But I have preached. But it hasn't been as often as I desire. But honestly, I feel like I preach every week because when I'm on radio or when I'm on TV, the Lord will have me say things, and it's like almost like a mini sermon. So I've been doing that for a while. I put some videos up on YouTube like a couple years ago. But he's really been allowing this public speaking to be like the catalyst to show me, like, okay, it's time. And so that is actually one of my prayers where I've been praying to be able to have more opportunities to go out and minister, because he's showing me that he desires for me to do that now.
Very good. Share with us, before we go, how a person can access your radio show and your TV.
Okay.
And I realize that it's probably localized, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And you
can, so radio, what's great about that is I am on Facebook, Zarina Lomax. You can friend me, or you can actually just go to my page, because my page is public. And you can watch it there every Wednesday from 8 to 9:30 p.m. because it airs on Spiritual Connect Radio, but I actually do it live because, you know, everybody just doesn't like to download apps. So you can still see it no matter where you are. TV, it does air on Philly Cam stations. If you're in Philly area, it is on 29 and 30 on Verizon and 66 and 966 on Comcast every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m., however, I do upload them to my YouTube channel, which is Talking the Walk Philly. So you can go to Talking the Walk Philly there, and you can subscribe to it. Last season, like kind of like what you were saying, I was sick, so I wasn't uploading as much as the second season. But the third season just premiered last Saturday, so I am on it. So I am going to upload a lot of things this week, actually, so you'll be able to see it there. And you can like Talking the Walk Philly on Facebook, so I can put some updates there. But if you friend me, or if you subscribe to my YouTube channel, or you can even follow me on Instagram, which is ArenaLonex33. I'm on all those aspects, which you'll see on Tay's website. You can follow me there. I'm really, really vocal. I share a lot, and I kind of put up a lot of different posts, so you'll always be able to see me in some aspect, no matter if you're not in Philly or not.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I figured that there was that capability, because media today is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Well, Zarina, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we say goodbye? Any question I wish she had asked me that and I didn't?
No. I mean, just keep an eye out. God has me in the process of setting up my own building. So I'm in the process. I have a production company. So if you're interested in learning how to be more kingdom-minded in your media productions, I am definitely a coach with it. I have 4 other productions that I am coaching, and other people are calling. So I do help you produce, and I help you to coach and to be able to keep your integrity but be creative at the same time. But honestly, I would just say anything else, it would just be to just consistently stay with Jesus in this season. God is about to do a great thing in this hour, and just truly do what he says, no matter if the instructions are weird or if you don't seem common to you. We serve a supernatural God. Just do it. Because look at where, if I didn't go, look at what would have happened. We have so many assignments. And so think about the people that wouldn't get to Jesus if you don't do what he says. But I would just say for that, just follow the instructions. It's nothing more than that. Just do what God says and trust him. And he just loves you. And he's not going to lead you anywhere that's going to hurt you. He's with you in all of it.
Well, with that wonderful, inspiring message, Z, I think we're going to go ahead and close out. Thank you so much for your time
this morning.
You shared your heart. You shared your passion with us, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Yes. Thank you so much.
May
God be the glory.
Could God be the glory, and may he continue to bless you in all of your wonderful endeavors.
Thank you.
To listeners, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. And once again, go to pattysheene.com, PattySheene.com, where you will find information about Zarina. You'll find information about all of our guests. You can go back and listen to this show and to any other shows that we have recorded to date. So God bless you all. And in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you. Look forward to having you back next week.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it
warm. now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.